I want to speak about the 14th verse of Psalm 90, Psalm 90, verse 14. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. The theme for this I want to place on top of the message is the urgent need for satisfying mercy, the urgent need for satisfying mercy. It is an urgent necessity, a satisfying mercy, and a joyful fruit that we want to look at. Now, what is so urgent about this? There seems to be a sense of urgency when the psalmist Moses says, oh, there's a sense of urgency here when he starts off with, oh, there's something that he really wants for the people he's addressing. And early, it gives you the sense of this is not something we want late in life. This is not something we want later on. This is something we want as soon as possible. And so there's a sense of urgency here. And why do we get this sense of urgency? Well, Moses is 120 years old when he passed away. And this is probably one of his later expressions to the people of Israel. And you'll notice that when men get older, when they become grandpas and great-grandpas, then what they say to children and grandchildren has a sense of urgency when they talk about the Lord and the need for being born again and the need to be forgiven of our sins. Children, maybe you've even heard things like that from your grandpa or your parents or some other older man. There's a sense of urgency because Moses also has witnessed that for 40 years they have been wandering through the wilderness, and a whole generation of parents died in the wilderness. And we are told in Hebrews 3 the reason why they died in the wilderness and couldn't go into the promised land of Canaan with the rest of their children and grandchildren. Why was it? Because of unbelief. That's what Hebrews 3 tells us. That's the lesson we're to learn from the example of what happened. Why they couldn't go in the first time that they were at the border of Canaan and had to turn back and wander around in a wilderness. It was because of unbelief. And so there's a sense of urgency. Moses wants to be sure that people have gotten the lesson, that they really get it spiritually, what the Lord has been teaching them. And this is the most important lesson that we could learn, too. The urgent need to know mercy before we die. Why is it urgent? Well, let me just lay out a few of the reasons. Because this is the most important thing you could ever experience in your life. It is what the Lord Jesus would call the one thing needful. It's what foolish people don't give any time to, but those who are wise, they realize first things are first in our life. And so this is the most important thing that you could ever experience, and that is the saving mercy of God. Another reason is because life is so short and death is certain. It comes soon. Even if you're an old person, death can suddenly come. And you really don't want to be caught unawares. You don't want to be caught by surprise when it comes. Spiritually, we need to be ready. In Hebrews 9, we read in verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, yes, then it says the judgment. And so we need to look for this mercy. We need to strive to experience this mercy. We need to go to God for this mercy. Another reason is because life is so frail and our future is so uncertain. Not only is life short and death is certain, but life is frail. And we experienced through this whole COVID thing how just a little virus can be a threat to a person's life. And how we need to be careful not to think that we're just can assume that we're going to live for 70 or 80 years. In Proverbs 27, we read, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you do not know what the day may bring forth. Now we don't know if we're even going to be here tomorrow. Life is frail, and death is certain. But the future is uncertain. The only thing we're certain of is today. Hebrews 3 tells us, in that context that I referred to, of the warning of the people who died in the wilderness, the apostle is saying in Hebrews 3, while it is called today, don't harden your heart. And so, we also need to realize that God will judge us. Yes. And Moses is impressed in this psalm by the reality of the fact that life is short and frail, and also that God is angry with sin. God is angry with sin. And if all we have to bring in the day of judgment is just a heart full of sin and a long record of sin, how will we stand in the day of judgment? We need a Savior. Is appointed to die. But then the judgment. How are you going to stand in the day of judgment? Rejoice, O man, Ecclesiastes says. Yes, but then he goes on to say, but remember that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And so however we live, however we choose to live, we are called to be sober and serious, and to be urgent in our considerations about this one thing. I need to experience the mercy of God in Christ Jesus to cover my sin and in order to give me a sense of peace when I die. Why else? Well, it's also an urgent thing that we need to consider early in our life, because when we get older, hardness develops more and more. The hardness of, if you are living in unbelief, your heart can get harder and harder as time goes on. Not only because you accumulate more and more sins, but also because you have resisted more and more the merciful approaches of God to you. God knocks on your heart. And if you don't believe, then it becomes harder. God touches your conscience. And if you're not convicted of your sin and repent of it, your conscience gets harder and is seared, as the Bible calls it. And if God comes to us over and over again at every worship service that we attend, and every time we open the Bible, and he keeps telling us these wonderful things and offering grace and calling us over and over again, as time goes on, if we keep turning down his offers of mercy when he says, look unto me and all the ends of the earth and live, if he comes to you and says, come to me, and I will give you life. As time goes on, hardness of heart sets in, and it's more difficult to repent of your sin when you have resisted his mercy so long. And so the reason why Moses here says, oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, why he's pleading for this for himself and also for others, is because he realizes that this must be experienced early before it is too late. That's actually what early means here. Early is the very opposite of too late. You don't want to begin your interest in the Lord and in mercy when it is too late. What a joy, however, to have an old age that has the ability to look back on a life in the service of the Lord. But how sad it is to experience when you visit people who have hardened themselves over and over. What a joy to visit people who have, in their youth, experienced the mercy of the Lord. It's been a joy to you too, Frank and Joanne. But in these past months, you've had these more frequent opportunities to have contact with your father and to experience this softness of his heart and mellowing. And I'm thankful for you and for the family that you could experience those things. And we are thankful for the expressions also of friends and others who knew him more intimately. And we're now turning to the younger generation with these words and saying, this is what you need. You need mercy early in your life. Oh, satisfy us early. And what is so satisfying about this mercy, secondly? Well, it is satisfying because it solves the deepest need of the human heart. Satisfaction. That's what we really need. A soul-satisfying experience of the mercy. There is a word, satisfaction, that has a slightly different meaning than what is used here, and that is that we need to experience that in Christ Jesus, the wrath of God against sin has been satisfied. And so Jesus satisfies his Father's demand of justice against sin by paying the price. But the way in which the word satisfaction is used here is satisfy us. In other words, there is this venture in life that everyone goes through life and they try to pursue happiness. They try to pursue joy. But what brings joy to us in life? Does money? Well, some people make it the be-all and end-all of their life. Just get rich. Get more money in the bank, more possessions, more property, more investments. But the Bible warns us the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some have coveted after and have been erring, falling away from the faith, and piercing themselves through with many sorrows. No, money doesn't really satisfy. Well, what about pleasure? Fun is the word of the day. Well, why do you do that? Well, it's fun. That's the only explanation for your pursuit of things. That's not really going to satisfy you in the end of the day. Pleasures are only fleeting. They are only enjoyed for such a short time. Some pursue education, say knowing things, the accumulation of knowledge, and some pursue power. That satisfies them, they think, and fame and all kinds of other things. But in the end of the day, so many who have pursued these things end their lives in bitterness and sorrow and regret. Because these things do not satisfy the deepest need of the human soul. Someone has said, there is a God-shaped void in every human heart. In other words, the only thing that really fits in that empty place in our heart is a relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Mercy. Mercy is the word that describes that experience. It can only be experienced by the mercy of God. The mercy he gives and that he provides and that he freely offers through his Son, Jesus Christ. Mercy is the undeserved kindness of God's forgiving compassion. The undeserved kindness of God's forgiving compassion. Mercy is what we need. Moses describes this mercy that is needed. He experienced the need for it because he saw how many people were experiencing the result of God's justice against sin. But mercy is what we need to forgive us our sins and to impute to us a righteousness that we don't have, that's only supplied by Jesus. And how does a holy, righteous, and glorious God show mercy? Only through Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, you see, it's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so we need to find this mercy, and we can find it only in Jesus. As we read, he has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the way to the Father. The way to experience a reconciled relationship to God is through him, by faith in him. And how we need that. It's not only the most important thing we need in order to die, but it's the most important thing we need in order to live. Really live. What is life to you? Isn't it really life when you can live every day rejoicing and glad? Well, notice the promise of our text that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. That's, thirdly, the joyful fruit of this satisfying mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. All our days. Young people, do not just give God the leftovers of your life, the last few years or months or days. If you want to have a joyful life, commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and live your life for God. Experiencing his mercy, his forgiving mercy, you will then be able, out of thankfulness, to live a life of joyful service to him. And if you know that joy of forgiveness, there will be a joy in everything you do. No, that doesn't mean that it is perfectly constant all the time. We have our ups and downs. We have our moods. But even behind the shadows, even behind the clouds, even behind the bouts of depression, deep in your soul will be this ever constant glowing faith. God is there. He's got this. And he's got a good purpose for my life. That is the joy, the deep joy. It's not the happy-clappy stuff that the world wants to offer you. That's only fleeting. Much of the happiness the world offers comes with a hangover as a payback or deep regrets. But the joy of living in communion with the Lord through Jesus lasts all your days. The wonderful thing about this joyful relationship to the Lord is that even the sad things are turned into joy. The Lord Jesus once said to his disciples when he was announcing that he was going to suffer and die and those sad things. Then he said, you will be sorrowful, but he promised this, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Imagine the sadness of the disciples. They had befriended Jesus, or he had befriended them, and he had been teaching them, and he'd been telling them all these wonderful things of the kingdom, and young people, if you have a real good friend, what do you say? Like, BFF, you know, best friends forever. I can imagine these disciples were like, Jesus is going to be our best friend forever. And then they were sad when he died, when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when he had to be put in the grave. But what Jesus said turned out. Because the very reason for their sadness later became the reason for gladness. Yes, Jesus can heal your sadness and turn it into gladness. Even when you have to part from your best friend in life, that which causes you the deepest sorrow, the death of that best friend, can later by grace be turned into an anticipation of the greatest gladness. That's the way it was with Jesus' death. Later on, the Apostle Paul said, I will glory in nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And the world thinks, how can you be so happy? How can you be bragging and boasting and spreading the news of someone being crucified on a cross? Yes, it was the reason for their sorrow. But through His resurrection, it was turned into the reason of joy. The reason for joy, because this cross of Jesus became the fountain of satisfying mercy. And losing a best friend and standing at a graveside which must have caused some of you to remember the loss of other loved ones. But it can be the occasion of anticipating a moment of great gladness. Yes, Jesus can heal your sadness and turn it into gladness. Children, satisfying mercy is the key to it. Young people, adults, do not wait long to be satisfied with the mercy of the Lord. Because then, whatever you do will be for Him. And your work, your daily work will be a joy. Notice how Moses ends the psalm. Let thy work, O Lord, appear to thy servants and thy glory to their children. This work of God through the mercy that is from Jesus Christ, when it's at work in our children and grandchildren, no greater joy can be given to the heart of a grandfather than to know that children and children and children's children share in this satisfying mercy that is through Jesus Christ. May the many generations continue to know this joy, this work of God, this beauty of the Lord our God that is on all those who experience His mercy. I noticed the last thought, that at in the bulletin, the back of it has "The Lord is my shepherd," and it ends this way, with this glad note. This joyful note, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yes, then you and your very best friends will be with you forever. Yes. The very best friends, the friends who with you have enjoyed that satisfying mercy. And you will be able to confess, it's all amazing grace. Mercy. Nothing but mercy, and to God will be all the glory forever.